Good morning. I'm glad you're here. I'm Ken August with the National Public Health Information Coalition. And what's your favorite social network? Are you on Facebook? Are you on LinkedIn? Are you still using MySpace? Are you on Twitter? Are you tweeting from this conference? Help, I was in a long line for breakfast and I desperately needed coffee. Well, whatever your favorite social network is, if you are not already using these tools to accomplish your goals, then today I want to explain how you can accomplish your goals using social media and why you should join the Virtual Immunization Communication Network. It'll help you expand your organization. It's been a great thing for us, and it's easy, and you can do it too. The Virtual Immunization Communication Network is an online community of individuals who are committed to strengthening communication around immunization. It began as a project in the fall of 2009 of the National Public Health Information Coalition and the California Immunization Coalition. VIC Network members belong to immunization coalitions. They work as health educators or communications directors or public information officers at local, state, and federal health agencies. They want to be more effective communicators about immunizations and the need for immunizations, but sometimes they struggle with how to do that, and that's where the VIC Network comes in. The VIC Network provides technical information and training on the techniques and strategies of social media for promoting immunizations. We build relationships with nonprofit organizations, with government, and with advocates, and we share information on vaccine-preventable diseases and healthy vaccination practices. We help individuals and organizations to make this transition to new media. The VIC Network has been helping individuals through a variety of different ways, through our website, which is at www.vicnetwork.org, through our e-newsletter, which is called the Virtual Voice, and through a blog and through our webinars. And we started about a little less than a year and a half ago, and in that time, we feel like we've come a long way. In that time, our newsletter now has more than 2,700 subscribers. Our website has had as many as 1,600 visitors in a month. We've gotten on a single day 77 new Facebook friends, and we are active on Twitter. We've got more than 100 people that follow us. So we feel like through the VIC Network, we have started this conversation that is still growing. Our biggest educational activity yet is still to come. It's the called Speak Up, the 2011 Virtual Immunization Symposium. It's scheduled for May 25th, so be sure to mark your calendar for that. It's going to feature learning labs and workshops on a variety of topics and some great speakers, all discussing how you can use social media and new technologies to promote immunizations. The VIC Network was modeled after the National Public Health Information Coalition, which is a national network of public health communicators who share information, expertise, tools, and training on how to improve public health. For NPHIC members, the bigger the network, the more resources, the more information that the members have access to. So NPHIC partnered with the California Immunization Coalition in this project. I want to give a shout out to the Executive Director, Catherine Flores-Martin, who's just terrific to work with. And we partnered with CIC to gain expertise and skills on coalition building around immunizations. We started the VIC Network with the contact lists of NPHIC and CIC, and then we also had contacts on some other immunization coalitions that had done some work with the CDC. Now, your organization, if you have not already got started using social media, may not have as large of a group of contacts, but that's not the most important part. And that leads us to lesson number one, which is take what you've got and get started using social media. Don't let the fact that you may not have a large network hold you back. We had not a super group of individuals, not a super large group, But we got started, and the first thing we did was to launch a survey. We had more than 400 people respond to it. 97% said they actively promote immunizations in their work. Another 67% said that they are active in an immunization coalition. And so we asked them, what are some of your key public health challenges? The number one challenge they mentioned was public concerns about vaccine safety and effectiveness. 63% of those surveyed said they were seeking evidence-based strategies on improving immunization coverage. So using the survey information, we decided to plan our very first webinar. Communicating Good Science Under a Cloud of Doubt was presented by Dr. Paul Offit of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. We promoted this first webinar using the VIC network and also partners of ours like Every Child by Two and PKids. And we just couldn't believe our good fortune. We had more than 1,100 people register for this very first webinar of ours. And an archived version of it has been viewed more than 3,200 times. And that led us to lesson number two that we learned, which is partner with other organizations to grow your network. It's like the old song says, you know, you gotta have friends. Well, an updated version of that song would be, you gotta have friends, and it really helps to have a good website. So we started to build our website. We wanted it to be the hub for virtual networking around immunizations and communication. We wanted it to link social media users to a concrete platform. And we also wanted the website to be a place where people could find new information and resources. Resources such as studies, news articles, activities, events. We wanted it to be a place where people could make a request for resources or more information. And we wanted, most importantly, for the website to expand the image of our organization. And I would suggest that if your organization is not doing some of those things, if your website isn't doing some of those things, then you should think about it. And you should ask yourself periodically, is our website really enhancing the image of our organization? Along the way, we use Google Analytics as a tool to measure the effectiveness of our website. It really helps you see how many people are accessing your site and gives you information on how you can make it more effective. Now, aside from looking at the number of daily visits to the website, we've also used it to monitor site usage and traffic sources. Site usage refers to the number of unique visitors that access your homepage or a particular page, and then the other pages also that they access. And traffic sources tells you, where are they coming from? Where are they coming from before they come to your website? And this can tell you a lot about the depth and the level of interest in your website. As your website grows, as your organization grows in popularity, you're going to want to look at the number of page visits to your site and see if they're increasing, because that can tell you if people are moving beyond just being familiar with your organization and starting to explore your website to find out more about what you have to offer. So Google Analytics is a good tool to help you with that. We also decided to implement a blog on our website. It was an important addition for us. A blog can help you synthesize information from social media sites and also give you an opportunity to offer the perspective of your organization. It's a way for you to more fully engage visitors to your website and keep the conversation going. Right now on the Vic Networks blog, there's an article about the unique principles of social marketing, and if you haven't had a chance to look at that, I recommend it. But that led us to lesson number three, and this is another important one, and that is whatever you do, however you engage the members of your organization or your network, make it entertaining. It needs to be entertaining as well as being informative. And for us, that has meant that when we're thinking about sharing information and advice and tips with public health communicators, with immunization coalition members, we're thinking to ourselves, we've got a diverse audience here. How can we make it interesting? How can we keep them coming back for more? Our second webinar was titled The Flu Ends With You, It featured Dr. Christine Sheedy of the National Center for Respiratory and Infectious Diseases. Nearly 900 people participated in that webinar, and we know that a bunch of others joined just by sitting in and joining the registered members. 96% rated it as excellent or good, and 97% said it was relevant to their work, so we were high-fiving ourselves after this second webinar. And with each of our webinars, we have tried to put a lot of effort into finding good speakers, which is harder than it sounds. And we also wanted to make sure that the webinar was produced not as sort of an informal discussion or like a conference call, but produce it more like a radio broadcast. We have a moderator for those webinars who's mostly scripted. We use polls to solicit feedback from the participants. We screen our Q&As to make sure that the speakers are getting good questions. And for the majority of people who are not asking questions, that they're hearing good questions and getting good information. So we've tried to make the webinars feel like there's a lot going on and that it's a whole lot more than just one speaker with a long monologue and slides. Our second webinar focused on communicating vaccine safety. Allison Singer of the Autism Science Foundation told the audience that the old models for talking about communicating vaccine safety just aren't working as well anymore. So she offered a brand new model, and it goes by the acronym CASE, and that stands for corroborate, that's the C in CASE, and that means acknowledge concerns and then look for areas of agreement. So in other words, if you were dealing with, an angry parent or an alarmed parent, you'd talk about the fact that, yes, we can all agree on the fact that there are lots of people who are concerned about vaccine safety. There's a lot of anxiety around the issue. The A in CASE stands for about me. Talk about what you've done to expand your base of knowledge about vaccines and vaccine safety. The S stands for science. Then you want to talk about what does the science say about vaccinations, about autism. And the E stands for explain. Explain and advise and make sure that your explanation is based on science. This webinar was very well received. We were very pleased with it. And we discovered there, for a lot of folks, they are seeking information on how to engage people on a one-to-one basis and talk about immunizations and autism and vaccine safety. Our most recent webinar talked about what is has turned out to be a very popular topic these days, and that is storytelling. And specifically, how to use stories to promote immunizations. Our two speakers were Bill Smith and Amanda Roth, and they were explaining how stories are how we store information, store wisdom, and how we share wisdom in a culture. A story has a hero, takes people on a journey, and it uses logic and a feeling of authenticity to deliver a message. We use data and facts many times in our messages about immunizations, but data and facts are not always memorable, but a story about a life-saving vaccine can be very memorable. Webinars, websites, Facebook and Twitter, we've used all of those as part of our social media strategy, part of our tactics. But you should understand that a good social media strategy is something that evolves, something that you won't totally arrive at overnight. It's something that is going to be specific to your organization. But there are a few principles that we've used, and we wanted to share those with you. And the very first one is consistency. A single post that you make on Facebook or on your blog or on Twitter, that's really just a drop in the bucket. You're going to want to do more. And there are websites, such as one that we've used called Hootsuite, that have scheduling tools that allow the user to manage multiple social media from one platform. You can set aside a small portion of time each morning and schedule posts for the rest of the day or the rest of the week. One of the common concerns people have, of course, is where am I going to find time to do all this? And one of the important lessons about consistency is that consistency doesn't mean that you have to set this schedule where you are issuing this flurry of posts each day. Instead, what you want to focus on is getting information that's really of interest to your audience, to your organization, to your network of followers, and making sure that each of those messages really count. This is the Big Network's Facebook page. Facebook has really helped us grow our organization. A little side joke here, you know, I'm one of the slow ones that's yet to put my own picture on my Facebook page, and my older son says, I really need to start my own organization called Faceless Book. So if you're like me, you know, just find a picture, you know, anyway. You know, a very good resource for information on finding balance and delivering quality in your social media aspects is a blog called twitip.com. It's at www.twitip.com. And it offers advice on how to undertake your first social media adventure. And one of its most recent blogs is titled, Why 150 Users is All You Need. And I really liked it because when you start using social media, you can feel this great pressure after a month or two to have 5,000 people following you. You know, you see the emails and things that say, you know, Charlie Sheen has 20,000 people following him, and they're all sober. You know, but, you know, you should think more about trying to make your messages count, trying to make sure you have quality posts, and that way your network will grow, and the people that follow you will really appreciate the information that you have to share. Here's our Twitter page, and Twitter has been very effective for us in helping us grow the organization and helping really to reveal the personality of our network. As with Facebook, you know, with Twitter, you want to make sure that you, that your messages really are about you, that you, as the saying goes, be yourself. And don't be afraid to take a stand. You know, immunizations are important for you, so let your passion about the topic come through in your posts. And a common concern that many people have about starting on Twitter is, what am I going to say? What happens if I run out of things to say? Well, if you start following other people on Facebook and Twitter, you will discover that almost everything you read that's about your organization or about the issues that are important to you are potential topics for a post on Twitter or Facebook. And the goal here is, again, to engage your followers and to keep that conversation going. For us, lesson number five, actually the most important lesson, was stay at it. Building a network is something that happens gradually. It happens over time. But the payoff is terrific. And we've just been very pleased by how our efforts have turned out. And we're also very grateful to our immunization partners out there, like Every Child by Two, PKIDS, the Immunization Action Coalition, others, and the CDC for their support with the VIC network. Here are some of the websites and resources that I've mentioned today and a few others. And if what I've shared with you about using social media has got you thinking about retooling your efforts, or if you haven't gotten started, getting started with it, then I would encourage you to join our virtual immunization symposium that's coming up on May 25th. And if you'd like to stay in touch with us or join the VIC network, here's information on how you can do that. If you have a question on your way home from the conference, we'd be happy to talk with you more about it. So thank you all for being such good listeners. Now it's time for questions.